Wow, I haven't watched this for 5 years.
Channel 9 was really a brainstorm that hit me when I was on too much cold medicine. So maybe that's why it'll either sink or fail based on the reality of it. But after PDC, I was so worn out and stressed out, and I was at home, and I had taken a bunch of cold medicine, and I was trying to get through things. And I started thinking, you know, PDC rocked this year. It was fun. And I mean, it felt like for the first time in a while that we weren't just sort of talking, you know, us to our customers, but it was all about, you know, a big party with a bunch of geeks talking about code. And it was a good thing in a number of ways because there was a lot of cool stuff to talk about. But, you know, what felt so right about PDC was people came up to me afterwards and said, you know what the coolest thing was about PDC? The coolest thing was that I actually met people from Microsoft. And I went out and I had drinks with them. You know,
wow, man, I had no white hair, and I actually had hair. I went to different Depressing. I'm going to go talk to Jeff, man. This has been way too long. This is crazy. Happy birthday. Very interesting. Nick Fillingham, ladies and gentlemen, that is him. There's Jeff in his native habitat. You've seen that before. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I was just watching the Who We Are video that we released. Remember that? 5 years ago?
That video was kind of an accident.
Explain.
Shut my door. We even got got code up here for you, Charles.
You have code up? Yeah. Jeff, give me, are you serious?
Yeah, that's right.
Holy crap,
it's
huh?
a link sample.
A link sample by Jeff, huh?
No, it's one, I don't know who did it. It's in my Notepad++, my favorite editor.
Excellent.
Are you going to be on this camera, or is it just me?
It's just going to be you, okay. Man. But, I mean, I'd like you to move maybe this way, because I'm shooting in
Should
your
I
window.
Should I be in my couch?
Get on your couch, bro.
Okay. That video, I think we did 2 takes of that video. And I can kind of remember it, because I don't think we really knew what Channel 9 content was going to be at that time. I've told this story about, 500 times.
Uh-huh.
And, it's really funny. You know, we kind of had, the site stuff figured out, what the website was going to be, and that seemed to be, a no-brainer for us. We kind of got it together. We did one rev of it, and it sucked. Uh-huh. And there's, we can put links to that. We've shared them on Channel 9 before, but
yeah.
What the original Channel 9 was going to look like, it was going to be Project Longhorn. I think we were going to do one called Project Longhorn, then we're going to do Project Whidbey.
Yep.
And we killed that, and the site looked so corporate. It was Sanjay that actually, Len and I went in, and we took projectlonghorn.com in to see Sanjay, and Sanjay said, what the fuck? he swore, but he basically, what the heck? And asked a few things. He said, what happened to the name Channel 9? That was, cool. You guys had this great metaphor that Len came up with. And he said, Jeff, you usually make stuff that looks cool, websites that look cool. This is not cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, and I think that was, the best time for this project, which was... after that, then Len and I finished this meeting with Sanjay, and we were like, wow, this project's going to suck. And he and I went and smoked cigarettes down in the basement of Building 119. And we're sitting down there smoking cigarettes, and he's like, dude, we're one-hit wonders. We're not going to be able to figure another thing out that's cool. Because Len and I had done a bunch of projects before in community. We did stuff in Site Builder Network, and Len and I knew each other quite well, and we were down there, and we're like, we're just not putting our heart into this thing. We're trying to create a machine that will, we had this idea of Channel 9 where it would aggregate up blogs, and it would look for kind of tags and keywords, mm-hmm. and it was going to be very tech-centric, and we weren't really putting our heart into it. And so we're smoking cigarettes, and we go, let's make this one project. At least maybe this will be our last project that we ever go to at Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And we all went into my office, and you came in, Charles came in, Bryn came in, David Shadle came in, Scoble came in,
mm-hmm.
and I think that was the turning point for the project, where we basically said, look, if we were building a website, if we didn't work at Microsoft, and we wanted to create the community site for developers that, if we could actually pull together and do a website about Microsoft employees, and we weren't working here, what would it be like? And that's where we just went crazy, and we wrote on the whiteboards, and and there and the Shadle came up with these wireframes, and it still kind of is in what the site is today. And that was the turning point. Like, when we were walking up the stairs, Len and I thought we were done.
Really?
We literally thought that we weren't going to be able to come up with another thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've often kind of thought of myself as somebody that's creative and does those types of things. And you go through that process when you're trying to come up with something, a site, and mm-hmm. or you come up with something that you're going to go do some project, and you think, no more new ideas. Because you just don't turn that on at 9 a.m. or whatever. And so that was the turning point for the project. But that was kind of like what the website was. That was what we still didn't know what the hell we were doing mm-hmm. for content. And the content thing was pretty neat too, because we just didn't know what we were doing. We'd go off and we did like this the Who We Are video. And we did that. I think we did this in that one there. We did in one take, mm-hmm. and we phoned over to studios. We used this very expensive studios, and we
totally remember
went,
that.
Went and filmed that, and Bob Schneider them set up the set, and it was mm-hmm. supposed to look like a basement. And you know, nobody knew that. Like, nobody used the word then transparency, and there wasn't like, you know, the concept necessarily of corporate blogging so much, and mm-hmm. the word social media didn't exist. Like all these buzzwords that we just didn't think about that type of stuff. And so we went over and then we did this interview and we talked about how we liked this company. And I think that's the one thing we remembered, was that there was five of us. Mm-hmm. We liked working here. We were proud of working here. We thought that the people we worked with were smart. Mm-hmm. We didn't think that we were perfect as a company. Mm-hmm. We didn't think our products were perfect. But, you know, when we came back from PDC 2003, it was kind of like we found that when people got to meet people from Microsoft, they got to see another side of us, that there's so many different people that work at our company.
Absolutely.
So we did that one video and we talked, right? And we didn't even, you know, that was maybe going to be part of our content. We thought at that point in time, hey, we'll do one of these a month or something.
I remember that.
And we'll go do that. And we've never done it again. We never did it again. And then the fun part was like, it's getting down to the wire. I mean, it was like a week and a half or 2 weeks before we were going to launch the site. We still did not know what kind of content was going to be on Channel 9. And questions that seem pretty obvious now, like, what's the difference between Channel 9 and, say, which was a highly produced show like the .NET show mm-hmm. or MSDN TV? We didn't know the answers to that, and we didn't know what we were going to go film. And I think it was Charles, that you, mm-hmm. you went and you interviewed Eric Lippert.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric was on the Trinity team that I was really enamored with back then. That was like Andrew Klinik and all those guys. And, you know, we thought they were just like, they were superstars mm-hmm. of the things they made. And so you went over with Eric Lippert and we watched this video. Mm-hmm. And that was, to me, was like what we started to, you guys went over interviewing. That was sort of like Eric, I think, was the first example of a video.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it was like we had the website, we're building it out, and we have these videos. We mm-hmm. thought, hey, we should have video with comments on it, which was kind of a breakthrough back then.
Sure.
And so we posted the Who We Are one on this internal site, and then we posted the Eric Lippert one completely. Mm-hmm. And it was, we thought we'd do this. We sent it around, and the different people, there's Vic or different people that were involved. They saw it, and they're, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until it was one night, and I'll never forget this, and it was Bryn Weibel. And you guys came back from interviewing Bill Hill.
Okay.
Right? It's Bill Hill. Bill Hill, the typography.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, wonderful, wonderful person. You guys came back from him. And I remember Robert and you saying, we got something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We got something amazing. And you guys did something with it, and you got it up on the site, and I hadn't watched it yet, and Bryn came out of his office yelling, Windows is not the most important OS. Windows is not the most important OS. And there's only one space after a period. And I didn't know if he'd lost his freaking mind or what. But he said, that's our videos. Yeah. And we were like, well, what do you mean? And he said, you know, you're never going to get Bill. He has a blog now. But back then, we'll never get him to write a blog. But look at all these interesting people that we can just go talk to and the people and things like that. That needs to be our content.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, that's when it really clicked. And that was kind of like the magic for me on the project.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget the night before we shipped. Forever. I've never had a project ever like that ever again. I've had some interesting type things that have popped and stuff like that. But there was something I'll never forget. Vic worked out of California back then. And he called our office, and everybody came in. I think you were there, and Bryn was there, and Scoble was there. And he made a really nice thing. He said the following. He said, guys, you know, when you launch this tomorrow, if no one shows up, don't feel bad. This may not be a supernova. and I remember him using those exact words, but he says, we have patience and time to stick with this, and you guys are personally invested in this project. And that was, you know, it was really interesting what happened next. It wasn't even an hour later, because we were like, we're live. You know, this was like 9 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, people started to come. And people started to show up, and we were sharing stuff on Instant Messenger, and you'd see people popping onto the site, and I mean, and the Who's Online thing would
kept on revving up,
and it was around the world. And we didn't go to bed that night, and we didn't go to bed the next day. And I remember that whole week of literally almost being up 24/7. And you were in the hot seat, you and Bryn, because you guys were fixing bugs, and I mean, it was crazy. It was just a crazy, crazy week. We unveiled it at the MVP.
Summit,
and that was like a complete accident. Like Len was in a meeting with some of the people that were planning the summit, and they were like, "Well, we need something to show that's kind of good." And Len's like, "We could show Channel 9. Oh, that would be good. We'd go do that." And it was a total fluke that our launch date was around that time, and that was a pretty crazy week. I would absolutely be lying if we ever thought that it would be what it is today. I mean, you know. It's pretty out of that.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, watching that Who We Are video, a few things, you know, screamed out at me. Number one, no gray hair. Len had a fair amount of hair.
Yeah.
Scoble was a little thinner.
I think we're all probably
a little thinner. We were all a little thinner. And we had that sort of, like, glow to us of excitement and anticipation. I really like.
Yeah, you know, you go back and it's like, there was, everyone reads this in 5 years. It's like, you know, it's like, well, is it as good as it was? And, you know, and all those questions that people ask, are we invested in the community? And
sure.
We still are. There was definitely a newness where, like, nobody was doing that. I mean, there's like this, now you see people with cameras and shaky cams and posting video blogs and YouTube, and all those things have happened now. I mean, interestingly enough, was the day before, or April 1st, was the 5-year birthday of Gmail. And so we've been around the same amount of time as Gmail.
All right.
Which is kind of neat. But, but you know, if you look back there, we had this kind of a little bit of a naivety about, like, who we're going to go interview and things like that. And, you know, it comes in cycles. We do some of that older type of content. Mm-hmm. We do some different things. And we'll always evolve and change. Really funny story, though, was on April 1, and I'll protect the names to protect the innocent on this one. But April 1, our internal beta, we shipped out an internal beta on April Fool's Day inside the company to, like, the bloggers, discussion alias, and all the different internal lists. Hey, we're launching this site called Channel 9, and we're going to take videos and put them out of employees, and we're going to do it out on the web. And, like, everyone was like, this is an April Fool's joke, right? And I remember somebody said, well, geez, you know, I don't know how you can sustain this project. And he said, first of all, we've done, you know, I don't know about web video on the internet, and I don't know about our developer customers, and how are you going to get people that are, you know, going to be as comprehensible as they should be, and how are you going to interview, you know, look, in a month you're going to run out of people to interview. And
other fairy tales.
And who's ever going to watch this stuff?
Exactly.
So 5 years later, it's pretty, but let
me ask you, I mean, what do you think? I mean, it's like, what was it and what is it about watching somebody on a video explaining the technology that built that's so magical?
I think it's magical when you have, I think it's not always magical, first of all. I think it can be magical.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's interesting with us is sometimes we put a content up that sucks. Sometimes we put something up that's really great, and I think that's actually part of the magic, is that there's a lot of things that people can watch, and it actually becomes intimate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still, you know, just when you have somebody up whiteboarding, mm-hmm. because I don't know of a company on the planet,
mm-hmm.
period, that does this. Some maybe starting to do a little bit more and more, but I don't see them taking their most senior architects,
mm-hmm.
down to a junior engineer, down to a program manager, a tester,
mm-hmm.
or an exec, or a CEO,
mm-hmm.
or the chief architect of the company,
mm-hmm.
that we go one-on-one with, and we bring people into that.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, That's what kind of the breakthrough, and that's what I actually like about Channel 9 is it's a mixed bag of the people. It has been Steve Ballmer, it has been Bill Gates, it's been Ray Ozzie, it's been a tester, it has been Sampy on our team, it's been Evangelist. It's all walks of life of our company, and that's I think is the magic. And sometimes our content's not great, and sometimes it's amazing. And I don't think we could always predict, you know, what is wonderful content. You know, like I still go back to even at PDC, that Mark Brasinovich video that we did. You know, we count views on a video. We try and be a little bit more scientific than I think some sites when we look at a view count. And so we look at Limelight data and we group by IP addresses and we do all these things to count a distinct view. Mm-hmm. That one there, last time I checked, I have 500 and some thousand views on that particular video. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, even a video, you know, it's like funny, you look at a video, well, that video only got 3,800 views. Mm-hmm. A video was viewed 3,800 times. I mean, that's bigger than some conferences for a particular piece of content.
Absolutely.
And that's that, you know, if you look at what our team has evolved into doing, the team that we have that builds Channel 9 and things like that, we're all about trying to bring stuff that maybe people weren't able to see before. So, you know, our team does things like Mix Online, which is an ongoing thing of the event. But we also bring all those session recordings when we have a mix or a PDC. That's part of what this team does too, is bring that on scale to people all over the internet. So everybody, whether you don't need an airplane to come experience one of our events, the streaming of our conferences and so forth. So where this has all come, like, I mean, at Mix we did a live Q&A with Scott Guthrie on stage, and we took answers via Twitter in real time. And that's is like literally scrolling and picking a question. I mean, back 5 years ago, we would have said, oh, do you think someday we'll be live on the internet streaming and taking live questions and whatever people ask, we'll go do. There's no filter. I'm not smart enough to have a filter. I was reading the questions. There was 190 questions that came in 30 minutes, and we're trying to pick them. And so it was just like, okay, Scott, what about garbage collections? I was like, Scott answering garbage collecting, but somebody wanted to know that, down to futures around WPF. I never thought that we'd be able to do something like that too. That's been pretty neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool, man.
How about you?
Phew. I'm still keeping on, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, going deep's going strong.
Yeah.
It's 5 years old.
You've grown a lot technically though, in a very unique way.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I, Charles and I, have worked together now probably...
Since the factory.
Since a project before that, which I think probably was like... We've been together 6-7 years. We're married couple sometimes. But what is funny is, like, you've just grown so much more, you know, the fact that you talk to execs and technical people, that and such, you know, to distinguished engineers, that's been pretty a neat experience for you.
It's been absolutely. I mean, it's definitely added to my hair loss and gray hair gain.
Yeah, I think we're all doing that. I'm losing mine on the back, so it kind of
totally,
hides,
man,
on camera.
But it's fun, and it's, you know, we're still keeping on. And I think when you think about Microsoft, if you look at Microsoft for a 5-year kind of evolutionary trajectory of a product, right?
Yeah.
Like Channel 9, we've actually maintained our core throughout a much, you know, we could have been, you know, we could have gotten successful and just, you know, turned into a marketing program.
Yeah. Well, some people will say, oh, is Channel 9 marketing? Is this that? You know, and it's like, that's just a fun philosophical. To me, it's like communication. And sometimes marketing is communication.
Absolutely.
But in a lot of ways, we're about evangelism. And I think that's different. We have technical people that do. And you know, it's interesting, you know. It's one of the, I think, the hardest parts that, you know, about doing our job like that is that we definitely put ourselves out there. I think if you look at every single person on this team, they have a blog or a way to communicate or Twitter or Facebook or Flickr, you know, just, you know, all these different things. Everybody is out there. And it's instant feedback. And sometimes that feedback is great. Look, you know, and sometimes that feedback,
it's harsh.
It's harsh. You know.
Totally.
And we've had, over the years, we've had good feedback. We've had harsh feedback, and sometimes, you know, honestly, deservingly so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're a small team. We juggle resources all the time. I mean, I often hear from people, oh, you know, V4, we could have done better. And yeah, I think actually, I'll be, you know, say right now, we could have done better on testing and things like that to make a better experience for everyone. You know, we're Microsoft, a big company. We're still a small team.
Absolutely.
We're doing a bunch of stuff right now that, you know, really trying to be thoughtful about planning for the future. I think we learned a lot with our last major update for the site. And what I will say is, you know, right now we're doing a bunch of work around performance and really trying to solidify a lot of stuff. I read a lot of feedback on in the coffee house, and it's just, you know, whether it's Min or different people about, but
that's what I love about the Niners. And I mean, like, one of the really great things about Channel 9, man, is like, it was a way for us to put a face on Microsoft, because corporations by definition aren't really human.
Yeah.
Yet they're composed of humans, but to the exact same extent, we put a face on our customers.
Yeah.
We've given them a voice, and I love it when they let us have it in the coffee house, and when they gave us congratulations as well.
Oh, no, there's all of that. I mean, so we are definitely doing a bunch of work to fix things, and then we're doing a bunch of things to think through the experience. I'm not going to come out and say, Channel 9 V5 right now, learned my lesson on that with V4, because... But
we're nailing the fundamentals.
We're
right?
nailing the fundamentals right now, and then we're going to do a bunch of work on what is the right experience to participate in Channel 9. Mm-hmm. We've learned a lot over the years, and that's been exciting. But you know, the other thing too, which is great, is the relationships you build with people. I mean, Jamie. Jamie's one example. I talk about him a lot because, you know, he's Canadian. So, and there's a strong Canadian contingent with Channel 9, Duncan and me. And
it's incredible.
But Jamie's been wonderful, and actually, my desktop on my computer right now. Jamie did these. I'll put these up as a theme pack.
Nice.
But let's see, there's Mimosa.
Oh yeah, Jamie. Nice.
These are crazy.
Awesome.
Anyway, he's done a bunch of wallpapers. He's done. Hopefully, it's posted by now. But he's done the theme for the site. And you know, what's neat about that is, before Channel 9 and the way we did this, we kind of interacted with customers, right? When I worked in support, I started 12 years ago in the company working in support, you'd talk to customers when they had problems.
Of course.
And then we did stuff on news groups and forums, and you talked to customers, but we never really built the relationships with customers. And I think that's the one thing that I really, really like with what Channel 9 and the job that we do has afforded me, is that I get to talk to customers all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of talking to customers has really... really evolved and changed. Like, I kind of wonder, you know, we talk about a Niner, right? Mm-hmm. And a Niner is somebody that participates in the coffee house or in the forums or views our videos and things like that. I actually think what we're going to see over the next year or two is that concept to evolve. And a Niner being anyone that's attempting to have a conversation across the internet with Microsoft. And so whether they're having that discussion on Twitter or you name it, it's going to evolve because the web is so decentralized.
Hmm.
And we have to come to grips with the fact that people are having conversations all over the place around products and technologies, and we need to figure out a way to adapt to that. Channel 9, in a lot of ways, you know, Len and I used to talk a lot about the Clue Train Manifesto.
Hmm.
And the Clue Train Manifesto was basically the concept that markets are conversations, and you are going to decide whether or not you participate in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, you know, it comes down to, when you think about, if you're off buying a fridge, you're going to search for that fridge and you're going to look what people are saying about it. And I think, you know, Mike, you know, we're no different than that. When you're looking at technologies and things like that, you're searching for information on that. One of the beauties of, you know, Microsoft and their approach to blogging, and I don't think there's any other company that has more employees on Facebook. I looked the other day and there's like 35,000 plus Microsoft employees on Facebook. You know, the people on, we're all over the place on the internet, and we're not afraid to engage in those conversations, and that's a very wonderful, powerful thing. And I think that, I like to think that Channel 9 has helped foster that, because, you know, we're out there leading by example of, like, every day going out there and pushing content and making that happen. And that's been
mm-hmm.
the long road, and there's, like, tons of road to go down yet on that. The other thing with it is, Microsoft has smart employees.
Oh, yeah.
And are always willing to try new things with technology. That's why, you know, when blogging was great, we had more employees blogging than any other company, still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Twitter, I guarantee we probably have more employees than any other on there, same as Facebook.
But I mean, I would just interject that when you think about it from a corporation standpoint, is really, it's amazing that Microsoft has always been behind this. Because look, Windows 7 RC slip date, where did that happen? Happened on some random dude's blog.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and you, I know, were involved with writing, you know, the sort of the be smart policy. Like,
No. It was don't be stupid.
And that was being politically correct.
It was don't be stupid, and then HR got involved or something, and they said we should call it be smart. But yeah, I think don't be stupid was so much a better policy, because at the end of the day, when it came, people say, you know, what is the blogging policy at Microsoft? And I said, actually, it's pretty simple. You have an employee policy. Microsoft is, you know, we're an at-will employment thing, so you can lose your job at any notice, and you can quit at any notice, and that's the best blogging policy of all. But, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes to blogging policies and all those things, I haven't actually been a big fan of, like, a corporate blogging policy, because when you think about it, it's about communication, right? Mm-hmm. And when you really, really think about it, employees every day are faced with discussions that they're going to have about their company. That conversation could be at a coffee shop with somebody they know and trust. That could be next door neighbor over a fence. That could be at a conference or a trade show. And every time they're having a conversation, they're trying to say, is this something I should be talking about? And so it's a blog is just a very effective communication device. But whether you say something on Twitter, on Facebook, or, you know, over in a conversation, you wrestle with, you know, what is the upside of me having this conversation. And that's why I always like, don't be stupid, right? Don't be stupid when you're off, you know, drinking in a bar some night. You probably shouldn't talk about some product that hasn't been announced yet and we're not ready to talk about and don't know what's going to happen. Don't be stupid when you're talking to your neighbor and when you're talking about, don't want to tell you this, but this is when the following is going to shift. Mm-hmm. And so I've always appreciated that, and, you know, not so much, but, you know, it's gotten a little bit more mainstream blogging. But I remember in the early days, really, you know, somebody would have an accident out on the internet on a blog post, and I'd often get kind of called in to say, no, don't delete the post, and
yeah, exactly,
and, you know, and don't overreact and things like that. And we still have a little bit of that, but
it's true.
People seem to be getting it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Channel 9 is very highly esteemed around the company. I mean, we've talked to, you know, all the way up to Bill. Everybody loves it.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a great thing.
Yeah, it's...
You should be really happy and stoked, man.
It's you know, it's neat things of... One thing is I definitely say one thing about our team, and I know for sure you, Charles. Mm-hmm. You have seen every single inch of this company in the last 5 years from... Like I said, again, the magic of Channel 9 is it's a tester, it's a dev, it's an exec, it's our CSA.
Totally.
I mean, the people that we get to meet, that's what I'm really thankful is the experience and the conversations that we've had. And the friendships, too. I mean, different people have moved on. Len and I still chat, and we you know, there's a bond, I will tell you, with the original five people at Redmond that, you know, I say, you know, it was a dream team. And the reason why I say that is, like, if you look at Len and the work that he did with developer communities and things and his style, and he coined the metaphor for Channel 9. That was
Len.
That was Len. If I look at the one thing that I learned from Len on that is have a great metaphor for a project and let a team rally behind it. And the Channel 9 metaphor, if people just tuning in, is it's the in-flight audio on United Airlines. And when you think about it, it's so perfect because... You know, just when if you're flying, if all of a sudden that airplane just went off and went shoop, off to the right, you'd be freaked out. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, if the pilot comes on and does that, or if you can listen in the cockpit and hear why they're doing that, you can feel calm and better.
Sure.
Well, developer platforms, people bet their whole livelihoods on a software stack. And, you know, they go into their boss and says, look, I really want you, we're going to adopt Silverlight. We're gonna use that for our project moving forward. Well, if all of a sudden we slip a schedule and change something and screw that developer, he's the one who's going into his boss saying, oops, sorry, they changed something at Microsoft. This isn't gonna work great for our project. They're the one that looks like a jerk to their boss. Mm-hmm. If there's some other surprises and things like that, that's no different than turbulence on the plane. And I think with Channel 9 and really evangelism in general, it's all about that communication. And And so channeling was such a perfect metaphor to be able to do that, because people bet their livelihoods. They make training decisions. Mm-hmm. They figure out what classes they're going to take in college. They take what additional training, what books they're going to buy. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely something that we take to heart about. And that's why I thought that was an amazing metaphor. So Len was all about that and pulling that together. I worked a lot on community projects. I mean, basically, since I came to Microsoft, I was involved either in the MVP program or things like that. So I think we did a really good job as a team pulling together what it meant to be a community. Mm-hmm. And really getting that together. Bryn was amazing from the fact of, even part down to the content part, mm-hmm. He wrote the original code. I mean, we started off using .txt, which was a blogging engine, and then decided a few weeks before shipping that we're going to use ASP.NET forums that Rob Howard had written when he was at Microsoft. And Rob didn't even know we were shipping on. We just pulled some random build out of a directory that I pointed Bryn to, and we went and did that. And so that was amazing. You participated absolutely in all the dev stuff and really making things, you know, helping make things solid. And you also were helping with the content. I think that was really critical, too, because it had, you know, a developer view into the content. Mm-hmm. The Scobalizer Bunny. I mean, Robert was just like, you know, I don't think Robert's, I think one thing, this is interesting, Robert, he was off doing content, but he was just, you know, he's just this lovable goof that I care deeply about, and a great friend, too, that I talk to all the time. But I remember with Robert, I don't think he saw the website until probably about 2 or 3 days before we're shipping. Mm-hmm. And, but there was something about he kept on saying, we're going to put a human face on Microsoft. And he kept on powering through that. And I remember him when he went to the MVP summit. Steve Ballmer signed a bill for him or whatever when he walked up. And he said, what should I do for Microsoft? And he told Ballmer before he was hired, put a human face on Microsoft. And Robert kept that charge of doing that. And there was just, Robert, the entire time he was here, always had that naivety and that newness, right? That and I adore him for that. But so David Shadle is another person that we don't talk about so much, but throw me a nine guy behind me there. This guy here, I mean, I always wanted a mascot for something we do, just so you could have cool things to give away. Mm-hmm. And David started drawing up the nine guy. And he came up one, it looked like a guy with a slick haircut and things like that, and he had different robot variations. And then all of a sudden, he nailed it one day. And it was through sketching, and he did this. But David did the design. We really shipped it, and we can link to them on these the iterations of the design. We shipped the site. We got it out there. We revved like a month or two later, another version and another version. We were on fire. And I think we're gonna bring a little bit of that back.
Good.
to get shipping a little bit more. But that was crazy. But it was absolutely a dream team. I mean. And things evolve, and our team has grown, and we do. There's a lot of things that we do. Mm-hmm. We do the Channel 9 thing. We do Mix Online. We do evangelism. There's different strategy work that our team does for the company. There's different demos around events. Our team does speaking. The Mix Online team puts on sessions at events. They travel to a lot of different events, whether it's the Future of Web Design or South by Southwest. You know, we're all over the place. Mm-hmm. Lots of different audiences and things we work with, and that's. Never really thought about that. I mean, mm-hmm. It's been pretty crazy.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, not to me, but happy birthday to this guy.
Absolutely.
You know, 5 years ago, right now, I think we were, you know, I don't know if we knew what we were in for. I mean, you know, it's been a really wild ride. Thank you to everyone who comes and visits our site.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, literally, I think that's the powerful thing is... Every day we can have some sort of, you know, we have some connection to customers and people that are visiting and doing our stuff. And that's what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for all the people that view our stuff, the
Absolutely.
People that watch our videos every day, the people that buy our products. Mm-hmm. That's what lets us go do what we're doing. We got a lot of work to do, around our sites and our experience and our products and things like that. And I think, you know... Just watch over the next time the things we do. I think we might surprise you with stuff, and we'll keep listening.
Excellent, man. Well, hey, thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Charles. It's been unbelievable. I think we've worked together about five, six, seven years.
Dude.
So it's been a wild ride. So thank
Absolutely.
You for you know, you've been the consistent force behind Channel 9. So thank you very much.
Well, I mean, that's one of the things I loved about Lennon, man. It was his, like, when you compared him to his ilk, right? His typical executive types. Mm-hmm. Lennon was always kind of stood out because he was very philosophical.
Yeah.
But he was also very, you know, business savvy. So he had a good balance.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make one thing out to the Niners, and that is, it's amazing that we've had this sort of unfiltered community for 5 years. We really had very little moderation.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is, we really didn't need it.
No. You know,
our community rocks, man.
You know what's funny is, I've said this thing over and over, is that running a community is really like tending a bar. Everything I've learned about running community, you learn tending bar. And so if you're like a bartender, sometimes your best customer needs to be pulled aside and just say, hey, you're a little bit wasted today. Yeah. You need to stop. And so so moderating, you sort of need to get people to, you know, you need to do that. Sometimes with a moderating community, your job as the bartender is just to sit back and let the conversation go on. You don't need to participate. Other times, not much going on, so you're going to provide some entertainment. Maybe that's our videos. Other times too, somebody just needs somebody to talk to, and so you go back and forth and you talk about stuff. And so our role is not just moderators, we're the bartenders.
Right.
And that's what Channel 9 is all about. So
maybe we should rename that to our moderators.
We're the bartenders.
Channel 9 bartenders.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome. On, man.
Thank you.
Cheers.